Welcome back to the Unraveled podcast. My name is Nina.
And my name is Alina. So I really wanted to talk about like the market fluctuations. I started in real estate back in 2016, I think it was. And, you know, coming into real estate as a new agent, most of the time you don't really know anything about market fluctuations and what that generally looks like. And until it starts happening. So let's even just talk about the last few years. There has been a significant change in the market because of COVID. There was a change right before COVID and people freaking out because of not knowing where the market was going to go. Then you had the change during COVID where the interest rates dropped significantly. And then you have the change after COVID. So I think any agents that came into real estate during that time were probably like, what the hell is going on? Is this how real estate's always going to be? And quite frankly, it is. Just maybe not that quickly of a shift would you experience that. But over time, there are several fluctuations in the real estate market. So generally, I just wanted to talk about like, what does that look like for a real estate agent? How to prepare for it? How to, you know, what to expect? And I know for myself, one thing that is important is that when you're coming into it as a real estate agent, is studying the market, like understanding the trends, seeing what happens, and that way you can kind of better prepare for it. What are the normal interest rates? What were they like previously? Mm-hmm. What are they like now? What is the projected interest rates are going to be? Then that way, and that's just one specific way to do it. So then that way you can kind of prepare yourself for the changes, but also your clients.
Yeah, exactly. I think staying really educated on the market's important, the current market, but also the overall timeline of what real estate looks like in this local market. So, Agreed. You know, for a lot of people, they think, oh, well, the interest rates aren't 3 or 4% like they were back in 2021. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to buy a house. Not understanding that the current rates we have right now on this greater scope of the last 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, we're not at that peak high interest rate.
Agreed.
But most people don't know that unless you educate them. So if you're a realtor, you have to be in it every single day. Like Correct. You have to be hyper local to understand what's going on. Because if somebody's just doing it part time, or they look maybe once a month, you're not properly going to be able to explain it to people.
Correct.
Or really understand it yourself even.
Correct. Another thing that I think is really important as well is diversifying your services. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say something, but I forgot it. Essentially just diversifying your services and honing into maybe like a specific skill or knowledge in a specific area. Like you could be knowledgeable in working with military, knowledgeable in working with first time home buyers, second home buyers, luxury buyers. Mm-hmm. What's the other one? Vacation buyers,
mm-hmm. investors.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I think when you learn how to work with a specific, what am I trying to say? When you're able to
work with certain types of people and represent them.
Yes. And you specialize in something that opens up another door mm-hmm. to be able to receive more clientele in that specific mm-hmm. service that you're offering. Am I making sense?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's important for an agent. You need to hone your skills and do enough business to where you're able to properly represent a first-time home buyer or an investor.
Correct.
Or someone who's maybe purchasing their third or fourth home, or maybe they're downsizing to their last home. These are all very different types of clients. Their needs Correct. Are different. Their prices are different. And so diversifying, like you said, it's a smart thing to do, but it's also being able to actually understand what's going on yourself so you can explain it to the consumer. Because I am running into some consumers that they're upset that they're not getting multiple offers on their house. So they're not getting offers $50,000 above list price. And respectfully, that's not the market we're in.
Correct.
You know, the market's changing all the time. And so it's not necessarily the agent's fault that the market is the way it is. I think mm-hmm. a lot of people think, oh, the agents determine the market. No.
But it could be the agent's fault if you're not having a conversation with your client, preparing Correct. Them for the proper expectation. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like you probably didn't have a conversation with it sounds like that agent might have not had a conversation with their client to mm-hmm. prepare them for the expectation. And then that's where it goes back to like what you said, where you're being knowledgeable about the market to better prepare yourself and your client.
And the thing is too, you might have a conversation with a client and, you know, when you first listed the house, the market might be in this position, but then 1 month later or 2 months later, the market may have changed. And so understanding, in order for you to get this home sold, there might be adjustments that need to be made to follow the market. That's why it's important to hire an agent that's working every single day in it.
And is truly in it. Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
Because a lot of times I'll see somebody, they win a listing and they get the business because they overpromise. Oh, I can sell your house for $700,000. Meanwhile, the house is worth $450,000.
Mm-hmm.
So for a seller, they feel great about that. And it's exciting to think how much money you could possibly make from the sale. But realistically, that house is not going to sell.
Correct.
So an agent is just going to say whatever they want to get the listing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recommend that.
No, I agree. I agree.
So it's, you know, for you and I that work in this market every day, it's not unusual. For us, it's very normal that, hey, the market shifts, the rates shift.
Mm-hmm.
But for some agents that don't do it that often, or maybe they're new, you have to really do your research. Spend time reading, spend time around other agents that do more business than you. Really try to learn and understand how things work. Why are the mortgage rates the way they are? Who changes that? I mean, there's so many things so you can properly explain to a client. Otherwise, you run into a scenario where you're not really offering the value.
Correct.
You know?
Correct. And I think back in the day, like kind of when I first started, about how I dealt with clients all the time that were like, oh, I'm going to wait until the election. I'm going to wait until the interest rate goes down and da 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 da. And I didn't really know how to navigate those concerns or just those comments about that. So I let the client go. Mm-hmm. And now I think about where I am today and where I've been in the last few years and being able to have those conversations with clients. And I have not had a client deter from purchasing a home because of those same factors, because I've educated myself in order to better prepare for those kind of conversations when they come up. Because realistically, and this is what I would tell a client or customer, sure, we can wait and hope that the interest rates goes down, but that's not guaranteed. If we think about, in COVID is a perfect example, the interest rates did go down, but let's talk about the purchase prices. Those went up significantly. Mm-hmm. And that's why you date the interest rate, because it can change. You can always refinance and you marry the house, because once you marry the house, your price on that isn't going to change.
Mm-hmm.
Your mortgage payment isn't really going to change in terms of your equity and what you owe on the house. I'm not talking about your escrow and your insurance and all that and those logistics, which is why you marry the house again. Yeah. But when you educate yourself, you're better able to navigate those questions and concerns your clients may have to better service them. Because quite honestly, back then when I was uneducated in that specific area, I was letting these clients go, and now they're not able to, probably the price point that we were looking at then doesn't even exist anymore.
Yeah.
So I strongly doubt that they've ever been, that they purchased something between now and then, because the price point doesn't exist. The interest rates were better then.
Mm-hmm.
And you decided to wait
because
you wanted to wait and see if the interest rate changed. Which again, you can always refinance and get a better interest rate when that happens. But if you don't purchase when you're able to, then you lose the opportunity.
Yeah. It's very,
you risk losing the opportunity.
Yeah. If anyone ever tells you they know how to time the market, run away, because it's highly unlikely that someone can accurately time the market. You have to look at the opportunity. Is the price where you need it to be? You know, if someone needs to be in a house, if the benefits outweigh the risk, that's where you should move forward. Because yes, you could refinance. But, you know, if you need to purchase, then you should purchase. Now, don't overpay. You know, that's why it's important to have a good agent. And if you're an agent, educating yourself, you know, because sure, a seller is going to happily take an overpriced offer, but then that's going to not benefit your client. And do you think they will ever work with you again? Probably not.
Sure. Sure.
You know, so it's multifaceted, but you can't time the market. You just have to put your best foot forward and see if the deal or the purchase is right for you and then refinance. I mean, I've purchased many properties where the rate was higher than I wanted it to be.
Correct. But you refinance.
But the opportunity was there.
Correct.
And it was worth it.
Correct. Especially if the price point was where you needed it to be. Because I'm sure now that property could be double what you paid for
or
it,
more.
Depending on when you, correct. So I'm going to switch the conversation a little bit and preparation for like what agents can do. So we talk about how to prepare for real estate fluctuations. And I think about how will you prepare for yourself financially?
Yes.
Cause as a real estate agent, you're an independent contractor, you're a business owner. What you bring in is on you.
Correct.
So with that in mind, this goes beyond just market fluctuations. It goes to like what you should do as an agent as well when it comes to finances, because you could have a month where you're bringing in a lot of income. You could have another 3 months where you're not bringing any income in. So how do you prepare for that as an agent in terms of, and this, you can answer this question if you want to, but how do you prepare for that as an agent in finances? Because you will have some times where the market's really slow or you are not working to be able to bring income in. What are some things that you maybe do for that?
So it's, I have strong opinions about this. I had some personal health things this year to where, you know, I had to take a small amount of time off, but I had set up my business in such a way to where there was no difference. So a couple of things I can do, you have to begin with the end in mind. So
that's a great,
you know,
great
for me personally, before I ever sold a house, you know, I set up an LLC because I knew I was going to be successful. I knew that I wanted to have this business. So things like paying your taxes quarterly, so that in the scenario where you have maybe a slower winter, you're not then hit with this crazy tax bill.
Yep, you know, I don't do that. Spring. But but I love that
that's
you
just
do.
Something personally, it sucks every quarter when you see that leaving your account, but it's like, okay, by the end of the year, I'm always happy.
Sure.
Because I then don't have to worry about that. So things like that, saving your money, being responsible, you know, saving a certain amount, paying towards bills. It's just all about maturity, to be honest, money management. I've seen to where, like you said, an agent will have a crazy month and then they go spend it all and there's nothing left. And I'm thinking, I'm glad you're enjoying your life, but then do you have, you know, where's your next 10K, 30K, 50K coming from? If you don't know,
correct,
you should probably be cooking at home, or you should probably maybe not take that trip. Now, the balance is, of course, you have to enjoy your life.
Correct.
So for me personally, I'll set aside for fun, for business, and for savings. And then you're not stressed. And then you can, if you have your finances in order, you can best represent your client. Because when you're financially stressed, then sometimes I see agents maybe not represent in the best way because they so desperately want that check.
You are correct.
And that, I think, is a huge disservice
Agreed.
To the client.
Agreed.
If you're not stressed financially, it doesn't matter whether you close out or not. You're focusing on the client. And that's
correct.
What's it's most important.
Agreed.
So Agreed. Honestly, it's kind of, it's so layered and so tiered. It's a lot of personal choices,
correct.
Business choices that will then reflect and affect your client.
Agreed at 1,000%. I remember as a new agent going into it that way and wanting that deal because I wanted the funds from it. But now, like over the last several years, I don't necessarily need it as much, but I'm better served. I wouldn't say, let me rephrase that. I'm in the better mindset to understand like this is, I'm servicing this client. It's not about what I need out of the transaction. But I had to change my mindset over time to truly understand that regardless if I need it or not, at the end of the day, my mindset shifted and it's different. Because I understand what I'm doing better. But I notice like typically it happens when you're dealing with, when it's a newer agent coming into the market, they forget that they're, and I don't say you're not here to get paid because we all work, we all have a job for the purpose of getting paid, but we're also here to service our clients. And I think you just have to have that mindset shift when you're coming, when you're a new agent and realizing that it's about the client, it's not about you.
Yeah. And it's something I think that happens over time. I think it's very important. The sooner you learn it as a new agent, the better.
Better you and better service to your clients.
Immediately start to make, in the short term, the harder decisions for the long-term gain.
Correct.
Because it's
which is the long-term gain being the relationship that you have with that client for being honest, being truthful, and being dedicated to them.
Yes. And the less you focus on the money that you can make in this industry, probably the more money you're going to make.
Correct.
If you focus on the client, the relationship, the skill building, the networking with other agents, trying to learn and grow and be humble, the more money you're going to make. But then people
Correct.
That focus on money only end up, I see them making less because they're so stressed. They can't communicate. They have this kind
That's
of
all I'm thinking about. Yeah.
Poverty, loss, mindset, and it's just not helpful for the
or practical.
Client.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
What are like, things even if that you do?
Let me get there, but I just want to throw in a story real quick. Like even the situation where I had been working with a client and they were potentially interested in my listing. And I told them like, hey, I already represent the seller in this transaction. I want you to be aware that I cannot represent you. However, I can certainly pair you with an agent who can, if you decide to pick my listing.
Correct.
And that was, and I hadn't reached out to you, said, hey, are you willing to step in if I need you to? Within mine, I would have probably lost... I would have lost double the commission on that deal had I taken that client. But realistically, I wouldn't have been doing them a service if I had, if I had, I wouldn't have been doing either one of those clients of service if I had taken them on. And it's not to say I would not do dual agency or anything of that sort, but I'm letting my clients know, like, hey, these are your two options and you make the decision. And that for that, I would have to be truthful in letting them know that, you know, I cannot represent you in the same way when I'm already representing my seller.
Correct.
And they were very like taken aback that I even said that. And because clearly I wasn't worried about my finances to put their needs first. Mm-hmm. So all to say, they trust me immensely. Because I was truthful and I told them I clearly wasn't worried about my finances. I was like, y'all are my priority. This is what I need you to know. You make the decision at this kind of, at this point.
It is so important to have your client be the priority. It has happened to me countless times to where I either take a loss or I do something to demonstrate where they're the priority. Mm-hmm. It's not about me. It's not about what I get paid. And it's always turned around for the better.
Agreed.
A recent situation was there was an investor purchased a property off market, getting ready to list it. The market shifts. Mm-hmm. So the profit they're making on this deal is not what we thought it was going to be. Well, I take a huge cut because the whole goal is for them to make a profit. That's the whole, you know.
Correct.
And kept that relationship and turn around this week. That person, that investor brought me a deal that I sent to another investor. So we're having another closing. So it's all about reciprocation.
Agreed. Agreed.
But imagine if I was just like, no, I have to get paid this much. Yeah. You'll probably just close that.
And I heard of a similar transaction like that with an agent that was like that. And that's how you are, you know, fine. Every teach his own. Mm-hmm. But we definitely need to do a whole episode on client sacrifices and for clients and stuff like that. That'd be cool. So shifting back to your question about what do I do? So when I started in the industry at the age of 18, I was in a completely different phase of my life than I am now. My rent was 400. I didn't have any responsibilities. I didn't have any pets.
Can you imagine 400 rent?
Girl, does not exist anymore. I mean, obviously I had some roommates, but whatever. Still 400 with roommates doesn't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. But the reality is I was a different space of my life. I did not have a single responsibility. Didn't even have a car payment. Mm-hmm. Like, lived a completely different life then. And this is just life in general. Like, everybody phases out of certain things. Like, your lifestyle changes, blase, blase. And I was just, I would blow every check I got. And I consistently had income coming in, so I wasn't worried about it. Mm-hmm. But then you talk about even when COVID happened, I wouldn't have been prepared for that. Mm-hmm. So let me backtrack a little bit. So I didn't live a frugal lifestyle. I probably lived above my means, to be quite honest. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Just because I was like, I don't have any responsibilities. I can do whatever I want to do. All I need to do is make my rent payment, because that's the only responsibility I had. And that was still minimal. Mm-hmm. And I was making well over enough to cover whatever I wanted and whatever I needed. So then as I get older, you know, you have different responsibilities. Now I have a dog. Now I have a cat. And I look, I know this isn't a child. So this is just me,
no,
my
but they
life.
They cost money.
They do. Mm-hmm. And now I have a mortgage. Yeah. I have a house. I have house maintenance. I have more expensive rent. Like, over time, those, I have a car payment. I have two car payments. Like, mm-hmm. all of those things changes because you want more things as you grow up, as you make more money. Mm-hmm. So my income's changing, my expenses are changing, my responsibilities are changing, which means I have to change my behavior. Mm-hmm. I can't go out and spend the kind of money I used to spend on certain things because I have more responsibilities. So what I started doing was I have like this whole spreadsheet. I actually started doing this maybe 3 years ago, because I also have a brokerage too. I have expenses there. I have two brokerages that have expenses there. So I have to better plan income wise and expenses. And I have to know what my income is. I have to know what my expenses are. Then that way I can ensure that I'm covered. You know, I'm covered. Yes. Mm-hmm. Correct. Covered. So I have this huge spreadsheet that I bought on Etsy. And I've reconfigured it to kind of what I needed it to do in terms of like my personal and the different businesses that I have. And I'm inputting in all of my expenses, and then I'm able to input in all my income. And I freaking am obsessed with the spreadsheet. Like, I send it to everybody. Mm-hmm. Or I tell everybody about it. And, that way I know what my income, that way I know at the end of the day, like, how much income I have to bring in monthly to cover my monthly expenses, for my businesses and for my personal stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I know what leftovers I have at the end of the month, and you put that in savings or invest it in something else, whatever. Mm-hmm. But that has been kind of my strategy, my planning over the last 3 or 4 years. And I do it every single month. Then that way I do it before I'm checking the spreadsheet probably 3 or 4 times a month for any adjustments that may happen. Mm-hmm. And I'm also factoring in personal things as well. Like, because I know I go out, well, at least I used to go out a lot more and eat and whatever. So I'm factoring in all of those things to account for what income I have coming in. And I'm having to make adjustments along the way for, obviously, if I am only bringing in X amount of dollars this month, I can't go out and spend $1,000 at eating at restaurants and food. That's mm-hmm. just not practical.
Yeah.
So I'm planning a little better. I'm accounting for things a little differently. Then that way I'm prepared for if I have 3 months with no closing, okay, I have enough mm-hmm. in savings to cover those 3 months, or do I not have enough in savings? What am I going to do to make up for that? Am I going to pull income from the other business? Like, what am I going to do? Mm-hmm. But I'm planning strategically for all of those things so I don't have gaps.
Yeah. I mean, I think the truth is that it's boring. It is
boring.
It's kind of
worse
scary
to be broke.
That's what I mean. When I was younger, I didn't think about finances in the same way. But the truth is you have to sit down and you have to go through your bank account. What are you paying that you forgot you've been paying for the last 5 years of your life? Have a spreadsheet, get organized, take that time to do the boring things so that you then will have more reserves, more savings.
Agreed.
And then if you don't have a check for a period of time, or if your fridge breaks or a tree falls on your, if things happen as they do in life, you're going to be prepared. It's not going to devastate you.
Correct.
And the flip side is if nothing bad happens, you have a whole month, a lot more cash flow to then invest and make more money.
Correct.
Or to bless somebody else, or to, just enjoy your life.
Correct.
But up front, you have to make those sacrifices in order to...
100%.
And it can become a habit. You know what I mean? It can become a part of my life.
Correct.
Very easily.
Correct. But you've got to put those systems in place and build those habits so that it does become mm-hmm. a part of your life. And one thing that I'm still struggling with that I need to do is go through my statements every single month. Because... I paid somebody double. This is my property management company. I had paid one of our vendors double. This is at an operating expense, not an owner's expense, thankfully. Mm-hmm. But I paid somebody double, and I would have never known had that person not said, "Hey, I was going through my statements. And I realized you paid me double." And I was like, "Shit, I'm not even going through my statements." Mm-hmm. Thank you for being honest and letting me know. And I would have caught it, but it probably would have took me a year to catch it because mm-hmm. I don't check my statements until the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And realistically, I should be checking that monthly because there could be expenses that are coming out monthly mm-hmm. that I'm not aware of. Or like reoccurring stuff. Like I could have, registered and subscribed to something that I don't even remember that's coming out monthly and mm-hmm. I didn't catch it for a year later.
Yeah.
So that's something I really do need to work on so that mm-hmm. I'm catching things earlier enough. And the reason I wait for a year is because my taxes aren't due. I don't pay my taxes quarterly like you. If I pay my taxes quarterly, I probably would have been checking my statements monthly, but I don't pay until the end of the year, which means I'm not looking at anything until the end of the year. So I should be doing better about that.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, it's like, the number one tip I can give someone if you're just starting out or you don't have anything organized, just go to your bank account, log in, and you can search by categories for reoccurring. Go see what's reoccurring every month.
I didn't even know that.
Or every week. And I promise you, most people, at least when I did my search, I found like, what is this? $3.99 I'm paying every month or $12. I don't even use the software anymore. What is this?
And they
just cancel it all. And, it's just little choices here and there. But
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Well, I think that wraps up our time for today. Thank you for listening and for watching. We release a new episode every Wednesday, and you can follow us on social media and listen to us wherever you listen to podcasts.